So I just want to ever so quickly, because I know this has been really good, because I think this is grounding, but I just want to ever so quickly point out, and we had slides on this that you can read in your materials, but this chart is just supposed to be a refresh. Some people and entities are per se automatically disqualified persons. That's your governing board, whatever you call it, your CEO, CFO, and COO functions, whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. Plenty of clients have tried to dance around nomenclature to get out of this. Dude, your number one, two, and three people are DPs, okay? Family members of the foregoing, and then 35% controlled entities of the foregoing. These are automatically in your disqualified persons category when Danica said insiders. This left column automatically require that 4958 disclosure. Transactions with anybody in that group are subject to 4958. The right side is the facts and circumstances list from the regulations. You have to, like, think about it. I'll give you an example. Sometimes we have people come to us, organizations come to us to write an opinion on whether somebody's a DP. Why? Because they're paying them a lot. And they want to be careful, want to know how deeply they have to scrutinize and how much documentation they need to do, whether they need to do the rebuttable presumption. Is the chief nursing officer of a hospital a disqualified person? Mm. Bridget's opinion might be different than my opinion, than Kim's opinion. Oh,
sorry.
What's your opinion?
My opinion, I was trying to deal with a crisis.
Yeah.
No,
it was rhetorical, but you are welcome to answer it. I was just saying, on this right side, somebody was the founder of the organization. Somebody's compensation is based on the revenues of the organization. There's your chief investment officer, for example. Somebody who has authority to control a substantial portion of the organization's budget, a big slice of the pie, is literally under their purview. Somebody who manages a discrete segment of the activity of the organization. Okay, here's in the regs, you can see the difference between chair of the English department of university versus dean of the business school. Different, right? Chief nursing officer, that's a lot of employees under that person. That might meet two of these definitions if you're looking at a hospital, right? Person who owns a controlling interest in a business that is a DP. Now we're getting into Bridget's family office world too, right? Because these things are all the web kicks in. And then non-stock organization that's controlled directly or indirectly by one or more disqualified persons. So I don't want to deep dive on this, but this I just wanted to call to your attention. Yeah. Somebody hits three or more of these and treat them like a DP, right?
Well, and I would just remind you, too, there are some lists in the regs of factors that tend to show no substantial influence.
Yes.
They're not as useful, but they're there.
They're
so,
not.
You know.
The president of Georgetown University is a priest. Doesn't get paid.
Yeah, vow of poverty. I don't know. I've never kicked that.
There's
one
a vow of poverty example. I think. Pretty sure.
And anyway, a few others as well.
Sorry,
I just wanted to
move us on. We're on like slide 11. This is juicy, but I want to make sure we get to stuff.
So this is one. You know, we do answer this question quite a lot. This is the concept of where you have an individual who is not a DP will become a DP by virtue of entering into a contract or transaction. Usually, this is going to be a compensation arrangement, right? This is the exception that exists. Again, federal tax law, not the others, to exempt that from treatment under the excess or analysis under the excess benefit rules. It's going to apply where you have that binding written contract, where you have a fixed element to the value happening here, right? Whether it's a fixed dollar amount, a fixed formula, even contingencies that do not allow for an element of discretion. And if you have those things in place, then that initial contract won't be subject to this analysis. That said, though, unless and until you make a change, of course, unless and until you make a material change. That said, though, and I think this is on the next slide, we still tell clients to work through the process. One, because it's educational and we want them to get in the habit of doing so. Two, because it's still most protective. And three, because there's a disclosure related to that that you may want to make affirmatively on the 990.
Yep. And because you lock in your executive director in their initial contract, that's going to be the baseline for all future negotiations with the person, right? So the policy behind it is, they didn't have the substantial influence or control over the organization upon arrival, presumably. They're not insiders yet, so we don't have to worry so much about you overpaying them because they, you know, are your boss. But it is still the baseline for future agreements that you're going to have with that person, so we still recommend following the rebuttable presumption.
Well, and I see a lot of clients who say, oh, no, it's not a DP because, you know, first contract, they're now going to become our CEO. oh, but yeah, they're our founder. I'm like, ah, okay, get back to the factors and let's make sure they really aren't a DP and we're not blindly applying or assuming this exemption applies. Yeah. So penalties, we're not going to tell you percentages and all of that. You can read it. You can look at it. The kicker on this slide here is that, one, the organization does not pay this tax. It's the insider, the disqualified person that we are focused on predominantly, and then potentially the foundation manager. So the director, the officer that participates in, approves this transaction. And then there are particular standards for when that type of extra level of liability might apply. Who pays the tax? That's, you know, if we're going to convince someone to not do something or to follow a process because of this, that's it. Okay, no, you don't want this compensation because you may be on the hook. Or that's you don't want to right approve. There. That's, yeah, that's hook. The hook. Yeah. Or, hey, guys, we know it would be easier to just go with this because it's your founder and you just want to say yes. But no, because you, in fact, will also be personally on the hook if you participate in approving this as a member of the board, for example. So those are the two big, you know, two big hooks that we want to talk about.